This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Indeed, it is on a Tuesday on the newly expanded BetQL. Coming up after us, BetMGM tonight, Quentin Mayo and Ryan Horvath. Show was awesome last night. Got to tune in and hear some of it. Ryan and Quentin, absolutely awesome. We got the Daily Tip, Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger in the mornings. BetQL Daily with the Joes, Ostrowski and Giglio. And then, of course, us for 4 hours in the afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley in our new time slot. As a reminder, coming up next hour, we're going to talk some National Football League, including whether or not you should bet the Rams over or under, with quotes from Sean McVay on his new quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, Odyssey Sports NFL insider, going to join us to talk about that topic, the Philadelphia Eagles, and so much more with the great Michael Lombardi. And then we're going to give you our Euro bets. Four games coming up tomorrow, and I got an interesting bet. I would use the word angle, but I feel like the angle on this England-Czech Republic game might not work out. But I got an interesting bet coming up on France-Portugal for tomorrow, coming up in hour number two of today's show. But right now, to close out hour number one, we welcome in our friend, and it's great to bring him back to the show. Haven't talked to him since the NCAA tournament. He's absolutely fantastic. He's Rob Doster. He's a writer for our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. You can check out his work. Bet Rivers tweets it out all the time. Founder of the Field of 68 podcast network. Not just a stud college basketball handicapper. Great with the NBA. Great with soccer. He's been betting on the Euro couple. Talk to him about that with the great Rob Doster. Rob, welcome back to You Better You Bet. Nick and Ken on a Tuesday. How you doing?
Oh, man, I was doing a lot better before Scotland tied it up.
that's a Euro reference, by the way.
Well, me too, apparently, because I bet Croatia, and I've got the England game on the TV, so I actually didn't know that. So that sucks.
Yeah. Rob, you have Croatia. What are you sweating right now? So obviously Nick and I are sweating the under in the England match and Croatia. What do you got going?
Yeah, I've the under in both of these matches. I really did not think. I mean, look, Scotland had not scored this entire tournament, and of course, they decided to wait until this. Here's the crazy thing, right? Scotland and Croatia had combined in 360 minutes of soccer, scored a single goal that came off of a quick free kick that created a 1v1 with the goalkeeper. Right, that was it. One goal, and they already have two in the first half of this game. So that under looks like it's probably going to die a pretty slow and miserable death.
Well, you'll have to obviously keep us posted. Nick and I will obviously have the matches on. You'll have the matches on, and we can commiserate together. For instance, if England were to score again, that would be something we would not be interested in. But while we do that, while we sweat these Euro matches.
Scotland's goal scorer, by the way, McGregor. Not sure if it's Connor or not, but it was McGregor that scored the goal for Scotland.
Did he do the walk afterwards? The like arm kind of flailing?
Probably, to rub it in our faces.
Like the honorary dance of the country, probably, at this point. Rob, let's talk about the Eastern Conference Finals first. Nick and I spent some time in the first hour going over Bucks and Hawks and some of our expectations. I just want to start with kind of a series overview using the prices, right? So, if we look at Bet Rivers and Bucks are -450, and for people that are kind of listening, that's like an expectation that a good amount of the time, like 80% plus of the time, the Bucks are going to win this series. Just given what we've seen so far this postseason, do you agree with that? Do you think the Bucks should be heavy favorites?
Yeah, I do. I don't think this is a great matchup for the Hawks, especially when they don't have DeAndre Hunter available. I think he's really quite valuable in terms of, you know, what he can bring as a floor spacer and a guy that can kind of be a difference maker on the defensive end. And you know, my hottest take is that Atlanta was nowhere near better than Philly. Like, Philly did way more to lose in the second round than Atlanta did to win that series. So I'm fine fading Atlanta. It's never going to feel comfortable betting on a Milwaukee team that allows Giannis to shoot like 9 threes a game. But I think that's where we're going to end up being. And you know, it's annoying because it's going to reinforce Mike Budenholzer to allow his team to do all of these dumb, suboptimal lineup rotations and play ways that you don't really want them to play in the year of our Lord 2021. But I think that's what's going to end up happening. You know, the Bucks are probably going to end up making the finals, and he's going to get an extension, and everyone's going to celebrate him for doing things the wrong way. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's just kind of my my anger at the way this thing is played out.
Or maybe they'll do the wrong things and lose in the NBA Finals, and we can profit off of it. We'll see what happens, though, with this Eastern Conference Final. So I think, Rob, obviously you like Milwaukee to win the series. Ken likes Milwaukee to win the series. I like Milwaukee to win the series. Not necessarily a valuable bet, though, right? With Milwaukee laying almost minus 500, or maybe it is. It's not something that I'm interested in doing. So let's focus this to tomorrow night, Rob, and game number one, where we have the Bucks as a 7-point favorite and the total sitting at 227. I know you like Milwaukee for the series. Would you lay it with Giannis and company in game one, laying a touchdown against Trae Young and the Hawks?
Yeah, you know, I think that I would. I think that Jrue Holiday is a guy that can create some problems for Trae Young on the ball. And I do think that, you know, it's always going to be a concern when you got to play drop coverage against a guy like Trae Young because he's so good at exploiting that. But I do think that there are going to be times when they can put Giannis into that that five slot to make things a little bit easier for him. And at the end of the day, I just think this Milwaukee team is better. And again, I cannot get past the fact that this is an Atlanta team that needed complete meltdowns from Philly in three different games to be able to get out of the second round of the playoffs. So that's just where I'm at with it. I just don't think that Atlanta is as good as this Milwaukee team is, and I'm fine fading Atlanta until you know, maybe until they prove me wrong. And if that means that Milwaukee's going to have melts, that means Milwaukee's going to have melts. But it's just, it's very hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that this is a team that needed Ben Simmons to completely forget how to play basketball, Joel Embiid to have a half where he went 0-for-12, and the Sixers to blow, what was it, the 26-point second half lead and the 22-point first half lead to be able to have a chance to be where they are. So, again, I can't get around the fact that this was a melt by Philly more than it was a win by Atlanta. So I'm going to be on the Bucks pretty much the whole series.
It's also crazy, Rob. I was typing in our chat. Game one was the game where they had Danny Green, Darden, and Trae Young the whole game and not Simmons. And then they finally made that adjustment. So they like gave him the game, gave him game one, basically, by not playing the defense that they played.
Nate McMillan said after that game, right, Ken? He was like, man, I really thought they were going to put Ben on Trae. Like,
really shocking stuff. I don't know what happened, I guess. But surely that won't come back to bite Philadelphia in the series. It was only game one.
If you go back and you look through it, how many good quarters did Atlanta end up playing in that entire series?
Like five, maybe?
Six or seven?
Right, yeah.
So, right? So, like,
fourth quarter in game five, one of the all-time best quarters, though.
Yeah, that's true. That was a good one.
Yeah, they had some great, they looked really good at times, right? For the first quarter of game one, they looked unstoppable. Right. But then they're beyond that, you know, mostly just looked like they were completely outclassed by Philly, who just happened to be able to find a way to lose games that they should have won. And, you know, it's a very Philly thing to do, I guess. But that, I mean, there was no way that Atlanta actually should have been able to win that series. And I still don't really understand how it happened beyond the fact that just Ben Simmons forgot how to play basketball.
Yeah, I mean, when you combine Ben Simmons and the Sixers overall and Doc Rivers now for the first time, I'm just, you know, like all things were on the table in that series, I guess, in terms of how Philadelphia would play. Rob, before we move on to the West, I have one more kind of player-driven angle to ask you about in this series, just because I think, you know, Giannis, you mentioned DeAndre Hunter would have been a lot more effective. I think we think Giannis is going to kind of, you know, get his numbers in the series, but I don't know if there's a way to make a lot of money off that. A lot of people have made a lot of money betting Trae Young overs in a lot of conceivable ways in the series, whether it's points, especially assists in a lot of the games that he's played in. And a lot of it has been him kind of in the pick and roll with Capella. We talked about this in the first hour of the show. Just kind of curious, you know, Trae Young's been, you know, 27.5 has been his points prop, something like that, 8.5, 9.5, his assist prop. Do you feel like he can have success against the Bucks in this series?
I do. You know, it's never ideal when you're going to be playing drop coverage against a guy that is as talented as he is. You know, that's because that's really what we're seeing, right? It's where you have the center kind of drop off and zone up a little bit while you have the guard that's supposed to be guarding the guy coming off the ball screen, trailing him and trying to get back in position. And Trae is so good at doing those things where you can draw that foul. Right when you stop, when you have someone running in full speed and you stop in front of him, you know that move that he had that everyone's complained about earlier in the year. He's really good at that, and then he's really good at being able to engage the center and throw up a lob that Clint Capella can go and get. So I do like Trae Young overs, and the big thing is if you think that Atlanta can get it done in the series, it's going to be because of the things that Trae Young is able to do. So if you're on the Atlanta side here, if you want to fade me and you're on the Atlanta side, then you probably need to be on Trae Young overs as well, because he's going to be the guy.
You better you bet. BetQL, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley on a Tuesday, chatting the NBA playoffs with Rob Doster of Bet Rivers in the Field of 68 Podcast Network. Rob, let's turn our attention to tonight's game two of the Western Conference Finals between the Suns and the Clips. At Bet Rivers, the Suns a 4.5-point favorite, total sitting at 223. Phoenix a 1-0 series lead. No Chris Paul, no Kawhi Leonard tonight. Still awaiting Marcus Morris for the Clippers, although I think we're expecting him to play. How do you see this one playing tonight? Side total, if you've had any props, feel free to share.
Yeah, I love the Suns here. I think that what happened with the Clippers had a lot to do with the matchups and the way that they were able to exploit it. Basically, what happened in that series was in games one and two, Donovan Mitchell went absolutely nuts, right? I think he averaged 42 points through the first two games of the series, and the Jazz were able to take a 2-0 lead. But what the Clippers did to adjust was they started sending two guys at Donovan Mitchell. They got the ball out of his hands, and they forced the Jazz into a situation where they basically dared Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson to try and go out and beat them. And those guys, while they are good players, Jordan Clarkson can go and get his own. He can't really create for other people. Joe Ingles is a guy that is great as kind of like a tertiary piece and someone that can maybe attack a closeout that's going to space the floor because of his ability to shoot. He's a really good ball mover, but he's not somebody that you want being the guy that creates everything for you. And when you combine all of that with the fact that Rudy Gobert is not someone that can overwhelm smaller defenders in the post, and Utah didn't really have an offensive outlet that you needed. While at the same time, on the defensive end, because of what LA could do in terms of their switchability and in terms of playing five guys outside the three-point line, is you really could take advantage of the fact that Rudy Gobert was not going to be able to guard you in space. So what you have is a situation where LA completely nullified the Jazz's best player. They were able to, on the offensive end, they were able to nullify the best player on the defensive end, and they were able to do all of that without getting burned by having the 7'2" guy on the Jazz really take advantage of them in the post. And the result was, you know, winning the last four games of the series. Now, all that said, as good as Devin Booker was, if the Clippers are going to send two guys at him on tonight, I think it's important to note that campaign in game one had 11 points and 9 assists. They have another guy that can create offense for him. DeAndre Ayton is a guy. He can overpower you in the post. You put a smaller defender on him, he's going to back you through, back into the rim and put you through the backboard, right? And then DeAndre Ayton can also guard on the perimeter. So all of the things that the Clippers were able to do to create mismatches and take advantage of mismatches against the Jazz, you're not going to be able to do that against the Suns. And I fully expect the Suns to find a way to win game two, because at the end of the day, isn't that just what the Clippers do in these playoffs? They find a way to get themselves in the 0-2 holes and come back and win. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And at this point, I just think that the Suns are going to be able to find a way to get this win. They're going to be able to cover the number. I think that they'll probably win by 8 to 10 points. And
there you have it. And that would mean that the Suns would cover the spread. Rob, fantastic stuff. Rob is on Twitter at Rob Doster. Obviously, check out his work for Bet Rivers and the Field of 68 Podcast Network. Great stuff from Rob on the Euros and the NBA playoffs. Coming up in hour number two, our Euro bets for tomorrow. Michael Lombardi and Ken and I chat National Football League, the LA Rams. Right after this.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.